Heavenly Father, you have sent Jesus to be our Redeemer, to overcome what we could not overcome, to be for us what we could not be. We thank you, Lord, for the many times that you have lifted us up. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to remind us that you have power over Satan and sin and death, and that we are your children, free because of what Christ has accomplished for us. In your name we pray, amen. Tattoos. They seem to be a very popular thing today. And if you want to strike up a conversation with a lot of people, you need to just ask someone about a tattoo or tattoos that they have. Usually behind a lot of those tattoos, there is a story. A dad who has a rose tattooed on his bicep with the name of a child who died at birth. Or there may be other of those kind of things that people put in remembrance of someone. And when I began my ministry, I had a lot of World War II veterans who all had these tattoos. And when I asked them about their tattoos, I got a variety of answers like, well, it was a thing then. Or, worst thing I ever did. Or others would say, I had that tattoo placed as a reminder of where I was at that time and moment. And then there is the little boy in church who shows up with that temporary tattoo on his arm, proudly wanting to show it to you, and then he pulls up his shirt to expose that he has covered his entire body with them. Yes, sometimes that's how proud we are of our tattoos. Well, I can tell you I've never been a big fan of tattoos. My children, when they first had theirs, put it in places where I couldn't see it. No longer the case. It finally sunk into me that in reality, every one of us has an invisible tattoo. Yes, we are living in a world that is possessed with Satan. But we have Christ who came to overcome, who took our place, facing sin, death, and the devil. And so we have been given this invisible tattoo in our baptism when the sign of the cross was marked upon us, both upon our heart and upon our forehead as one, redeemed by Christ the crucified. You and I carry an invisible tattoo as baptized children of God. That brings us to our gospel reading this morning. It's a very powerful reading, really, in Luke, the 8th chapter. In verse 27, Luke states he is possessed by demons. And then in verse 29, he says he has an unclean spirit. He meets this man there at Gerasenes, who's living among the tombs. No clothes, we are told. And there he is, hiding, because the demons have so possessed his life. When he sees Jesus, he cries out. He falls down in front of him, crying out because he fears Jesus. Because he knows who Christ is. People had referred to him as Legion. A legion is a unit of Roman soldiers, approximately 6,000 of them. Jesus may be outnumbered, but these legions are no match for Jesus. The demons, they feared. They knew that they could be cast out into the abyss, a place of torment, destruction, and despair, the dwelling place of Satan. Imagine the scene as Jesus meets this man, legion, filled with demons. And as he looks and sees that herd of pigs, he casts out the demons into that herd. They are so possessed, these pigs, that they rush down a bank into the sea and are drowned. This is the power of God at work. I have a hard time trying to imagine that moment, watching, just think about being there, watching all these pigs running off into the sea and being drowned. And then the shepherds ran to tell everybody in the city, and as they came out, there was this man sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed. I wonder how they reacted. You see, our Lord in the Gospel of Luke has a number of events where Jesus calms the storms of life. What about the storms of life in your life? How many times have we seen God at work through those events? In our gospel reading, this man, legion, does not want to be destroyed or obliterated. You see, you beg when you're not in control. And do you beg when you're being controlled? Satan has one goal. He is the father of this world, placed here, yes, as the great destroyer. J.I. Packard once said, "Satan has no constructive purpose of his own. His tactics are simply to thwart God and destroy men." Here was this man, no dignity, no relationships, ostracized. And when the demons left him, entered into the pig, they were destroyed. And now he sat at the feet of Jesus. Today, sometimes people ask, are people still possessed with demons? There is really a simple answer, yes. There are demons in every one of us that cause significant distress, that lead to destructive things. We don't call them demons. We have a lot of other names in our culture. Addictions. Abuses. There's alcohol addiction, sexual addiction. Always causing pain for people and for those around them. Working with a teenager who's made some bad choices and decisions can be very challenging. Walking beside them can be very difficult. Seeing them in a mental health facility or on suicide watch, trying to figure out what it is that has possessed them so hard that they're fighting so difficultly. We talk about fighting demons. And yet the truth is, within every one of us, because of the power of sin, there are demons. We don't talk about it as demons. We talk about it as mental illness. What was it that drove a young man to enter into a nightclub, into a grocery store, into a school, into a crowded area so that they can destroy the lives of others. It's so easy to focus upon all of those things outside of us. But what are your demons? What is it that continually haunts your life? Satan loves it. He's a destroyer. And yet, what we read in this gospel is that Satan at his very best is no match for our God. Satan, the destroyer, was disarmed at the cross. Christ overcame. And yes, that day will come when Satan and his legions will be destroyed forever, no longer able to challenge our lives. And Colossians 2:15 is this verse. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Where do you turn when those demons raise their ugly head in your life? When they knock at your door? There's really only two places. You see, as children of God, we have two great defenses. First of all, in the waters of our baptism, where God has called us by name, where God has given us that invisible tattoo marked by the sign of the cross. God calls you His child. And there, our sins were washed away. It's an interesting thing, the waters of baptism. Where were the pigs destroyed? In the sea. They ran into the water and were drowned. Kind of picks up on what Luther says, that we must daily drown the old Adam within us and must create the new Adam anew. A baptized God is one who declares that Satan, you have no power over us. And the second place for us to turn is the Word. Here, in that Word, we see what God has accomplished for us. We hear the great victory He has given to each and every believer. We are God's children. So we write hymns like, "I love to tell the story." Or, "There is a Redeemer," like we just sang. Because we as Christians, marked by the sign of the cross, have a message to share. That Christ came into the world for us. That Christ suffered, died, and rose again so that we might be free. And as we come together to worship, as we celebrate together in word and in the sacraments, we are being fed and nourished as children of God. Satan was disarmed. That's the power of the cross. You see, so oftentimes we can read a text like this and see the power of Satan at work. But remember that God is far greater and far more powerful. Throughout this week in Vacation Bible School, we've been talking about an awesome God, a God who loved us, a God who did it all for us. And what are we to do? We are to share that good news, to spread the word, to tell the story of our great God and the great things He has done, continues to do, and will do for us. Yes, the world is a troubled world. The people around us are hurting and in need to hear the word and to know the truth that God has set us free. We witnessed that through our Vacation Bible School this week. We saw the joy, the passion, the love, and the commitment shared by members of this congregation and others because we were able to spread and tell the story. Yes, the great destroyer is out there. He's searching. He's wanting to destroy your relationship with your God. But never forget who you are. In the waters of your baptism, you are His. That's a message that you need to share in your life day in and day out. Amen.